Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are talking money, and today's show is going to be a very good one. If you're a business owner out there, what you need to do is tune in, really listen in. We've got some good information getting ready to come up on how to get your business valued. And, you know, I've been in business for myself for, you know, forever. My dad was in business for himself. I mean, if you take when my dad started, that would have been in 1942. All right. And then from there, I grew up watching that. So one of the things that he was able to do is to do an exit. And he did that for over 40 years ago and was able to do that exit and where he built a business. Somebody bought it, and they were happily ever after, and we invested their money. And my mother made it to 102. Her birthday would have been this week to be 103. She made it to 102. And but the long and short of it is that what you want to do if you're out there, you know, hitting it hard and you're a business owner, one day you'd like to have value out of that business. So I've got Brad O'Brien. Brad is with Midland, and also we have a consulting firm that we can work with. And if you're a business owner, you'll be able to get more detail on that. But, Brad, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about – what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, thank you, Roy. Excited to be here. Yeah, we're going to talk about businesses and how we can help businesses in the area and provide a lot of value to those businesses about things they might not be aware of, questions they've got, just really all thing business owners today, really zone in on business valuations, how that works, and how we can help those businesses.
Okay, and you know, right now, everybody, pretty much in every industry, you got the baby boomers are like me, that have a lot of great businesses that are out there, and you're getting to a point where you're like, you know, I did play 93 rounds of golf in the last 12 months. I tell people I'm never going to retire, but, yeah, you know, I'm out there working, but I'm also thinking, you know, how do I take this business? And one day, if I want to do an exit to where I'm actually going to throw in the towel and sell it, how can I make that happen? And so let's start out. What are you seeing just from the standpoint of the type of businesses that are getting bought? I mean, you hear about it all the time, roll-ups and private equity and stuff like that. Let's get an overview to start.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot happening in that M&A world right now. Businesses are being bought, businesses are being sold. That baby boomer generation's been working their whole life. So there's a lot happening right now, and I think that creates a lot of opportunity for the resources that we can provide and you can provide. So the timing is perfect. It's sort of the perfect storm. We've had those baby boomers, like we said, work for a long time. They're trying to figure out what those next steps really look like.
So why should a business owner right now get valued? That would be the starting point.
Yeah,
why would you do something like that?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where most business owners are grinding every day. They're working in their business, and they never really look up. And, you know, they need a health check on their business.
Right.
It'd be like waiting till retirement to figure out what I've got in my 401k, right?
Right.
You wouldn't do that. You'd be checking on it.
And typically, a lot of the business owners that I run into, their biggest asset is their business.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things, too, that I've always, when I do financial planning for people, I tell them, what is your financial independence number? And your financial independence number is the amount of money you need that would never run out, that would keep up with inflation, you know, to where you can live your life the way you want to live it. And a lot of that financial independence number for business owners is what the business does. And so now if they're thinking of doing an exit, how much is that business worth matters, because then they're going to be using outside investments to be able to fund their, you know, lifestyle and stuff like that. So,
right.
When you start doing something like that, what are some of the drivers to start? Let's look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing is you've got to know that number, but you've got to cross this bridge at some point for some planning to take place. You know, the more opportunity you have to plan around that number for retirement, that transition, the better off you're going to be. I think some more drivers is really having that succession plan, knowing who the people are around that, not just the number, knowing who's going to take my business over, whether it's family or if you're going to sell it to someone outside your family. There's so many questions that really drive those decisions for the next phase of life.
And so when people buy a business, what are they if you're out there, what you're seeing people when they want to buy a business, what are the things they look for?
Yeah, revenue is important, but I think what's often overlooked is they're looking for cash flow. They're looking for systems inside the business, the leadership inside the business, you know, the stability, you know, what opportunities in the market. There's so many different factors. You can have one business that has the same revenue as the other, but the values are dramatically different because of other factors.
And so one of the factors that I do know that's a big deal is, you know, does the business run as a result of everything inside of your head, the business owner, or is there systems in place that cause the business to run if you took a month off or something like that?
Right.
So talk about that. Give me some examples of different businesses like that you've seen, similar industries maybe, that have different, you know, valuations, but they're somewhat the same in revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things is we look a lot of times at engineering firms or other types of firms, small businesses, large businesses, and it really boils down to asking that question, you know, if the business owner was to, you know, prematurely pass away or step away from the business, how's that business going to run? What are those systems going to do in the absence of that owner? Is it going to survive? Is it going to thrive? Is it going to continue? So I think a lot of these, it's sort of agnostic to the business owner world. If you're a privately held business, it's the general question of what's that business going to do if you weren't here?
Yeah.
Right?
Is it going to stay in business or is everything, and I'll have to tell you a story when we come back from the break about as I was growing and, and getting my business moving. But the real question is it a business or is it a job that you have no boss? And, you know, if you are a business owner right now and you're making money and you're doing stuff, but everything's in your brain and it goes right around you, really, you've just got a job with no boss. And so what we want to do is get the business to run in such a manner that you don't even matter. Okay. It's doing like that. So I've got Brad O'Brien here. If you're a business owner, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Go to roymatlockjr.com and there'll be a form, a questionnaire, and you can qualify to get a detailed business valuation that'll give you ideas on how to make your business more valuable. It's roymatlockjr.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, if you're tuning in right now, I've got Brad O'Brien, and Brad is, you know, the man when it comes to getting your business valued, and we work together on different. You know, one of our divisions of my company is the small business division. And, you know, I work with business owners and we, you know, do a lot of different things for them. But one of the key elements is getting your business, you know, valued and find out where the places are that, you know, really need to be fixed and to where you get more valuation out of it. But one of the things that happened to me was, Brad, early on, I started, you know, really kind of exploding my production. And I did that by having my whole mindset of business was, you know, if you want more milk, you get more cows. All right. And so, and from that standpoint, more people out there, you know, telling the story and things of that nature. And, you know, I started thinking about like Starbucks as an example. You go to Starbucks every morning and, you know, the guy started in Seattle with a store. One store. With one store. And so then it is everywhere. And if you think about from a business standpoint, that the founder of Starbucks, if they wanted to go visit every store, it would take every day doing 10 a day. It would take lifetimes to be able to get there. yet it runs on its own. Mm-hmm. And when I was early in the business, I had all these people, and I would do these training meetings, mm-hmm. and I had hundreds of people, you know, a couple hundred
wow.
reps in there, and they would come to these meetings, and as soon as the meeting ended, I just got swarmed. People, mm-hmm. hey, I got a question, all this kind of stuff, and all that stuff. And so then one day, I went on a trip. I went to Hawaii, and I came back, and out of all those people, we did like 2 clients while I was gone. And I was like, hang on a second, something's not working here, mm-hmm. all right? And what I figured out was everything about my business was me,
yeah.
all right? And nobody could do anything without me. And I started looking at trying to figure out a way to get it to where it wasn't revolving around me. So mm-hmm. tell us about some examples maybe, you know, that you see like that to start with, and maybe how doing a business evaluation and getting some consulting, mm-hmm. what it's done for people.
Yeah, I think that's so common. You know, we call that owner dependency, and it's very stressful, right? If your business is surrounding around you and your decisions and the sole leadership of you, it can wear you down and ultimately hurt your business, right?
Right.
And that's not going to draw the attention of other investors or a buyer, you know, right. once they find out. So we want to help mm-hmm. improve the opportunities that you have in your business. I think the greatest thing about this and what you have to offer in your firm and the resources we provide is a very good health checkup, as we talked about, of your business to really, you know, find those pain points, identify where they are, ask some tough questions, right? Because you're in that business every day. You need to take some time out, hit pause, and get with us to figure out where are these friction points in my business. Let us help you identify those, come up some ways to alleviate that, and find some value for the buyer, right?
You know, one of the things that happened to me, so that happened, and then I was like, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. So I read a book called The E-Myth, and The E-Myth was back in the early 90s. This was in like 92, 93, something like that. I read this, and then I hired a business consultant, and they would do a hour-and-a-half phone call with me 3 times a month. Mm-hmm. And I was nice. So busy, I never – for the first 2 months, the guy's like, all right, did you get your homework done? I'm like, man, you know, I was just, you know, I wasn't able to do anything. I was just so busy.
Yeah.
And so I started working on that, and we started working on getting operational procedures mm-hmm. and key result areas for different employees, and started getting manuals put together so reps would know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then one day, like a year later, I had a meeting. And I was at the meeting when the meeting ended, and it was like a couple hundred people there, you know, running around. And I walked out, and when I left, I looked back, and all these people were all swarmed with different groups of people and stuff like that, the leaders and the managers and stuff like that. And no one even told me bye. And I was like,
light bulb moment.
I was like, hang on a second here.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what I was working for. And, you know, the crazy part about it was I felt guilty.
Yeah.
You know, I felt guilty. I'm like, hold on a second. You mean I got a business that is generating hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And if I leave town for 2 weeks or a month, I'm going to come back and they're going to say, hey, we did this much. We did this much. Mm-hmm. And I was like, then I didn't stay guilty very long.
Yeah.
Okay. That kind of deal. So
it's a nice feeling.
So anyway,
very rewarding.
So give me some, have you got a, give me a couple, evaluate how you went in and maybe met a business owner, you know, they had revenue, but they had, they didn't have the processes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of times we find out that even with business owners like yourself that are just 100% guilty, they haven't put the systems in place. We find business owners too that have, but things have changed. Values have changed. The business has grown. We see a lot of that, right? Even though you think you've done your homework, there's probably some loose ends there that we can help you tie up and figure out. So, do yourself a favor. Make sure you get with us, get with Roy, so we can look at this. We talked about, recently we discussed a business over in Atlanta that had valuation done years ago, but we found their valuation was off by right at $5 million.
Right.
Right, just because their business had grown.
And it's a big, you know, $5 million. I mean,
it's a big difference.
A little extra $5 million never, you know, goes a long way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Another thing is a business owner says, oh, I know what my business is worth. I've been here 40 years. You know, I'm going to ask so-and-so amount. And, you know, we had a business that we helped, you know, we got the guy to say, hey, take a time out. Let's look at this. He was wanting $45 million. We asked, hey, do you know exactly that you're going to get that? Have you talked? No, that's what I think my business is worth. Well, the guy was pretty close, but we were able to increase his valuation and asking price for him. We got him up to $52 million.
Yeah.
So
right.
just by going through these processes. So, you know, it's just like going to the doctor. You want to get that health checkup. You want somebody that's an expert that can look through the lens of, hey, what kind of industry you are, where are you located, what your financials are, and give you a professional valuation.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, people look for recurring income.
Mm-hmm.
They look for, you know, if you're going to buy a business and – you know, if you look at the business owner and you say, what's his life like? All right.
Yeah.
If I buy that business, am I going to want that life or not?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm hearing from a lot of, you know, the younger people that are buying businesses, they're buying these boring businesses. Mm-hmm. And then they go in and they buy them. And in many cases, they get them for a really good deal.
Yeah.
Because the old school way of doing stuff is easily fixed.
Right.
And then so if you're buying a business, you know, you're looking for people like these guys that
mm-hmm.
don't do valuations.
Right.
Don't get any consulting done. Because then you're able to go in and buy a business. And mm-hmm. I was talking to a guy that what's the name of Capital? It's Thrive or something. Anyway, it's mm-hmm. one. It was built out by the guy that started ChatGPT,
mm.
and it's a venture capital fund, and they buy all kinds of businesses, and they buy a lot of accounting businesses, heat and air.
Mm-hmm.
They do all that kind of stuff, and they go in there and buy them, and the systems are so antiquated.
Yeah,
they go in there in a short period of time. You know, take AI, end up changing the processes, mm-hmm. and before you know it, they've got a business that they tripled in value that the same business owner
had just a few months ago.
They could have done it themselves. So,
that's right.
Hey, if you're tuning in, we got two more segments. You can listen to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money Business Hour by podcast. And if you're a business owner today, go to the website and fill out the questionnaire and get your evaluation done. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we are back, and we're talking money, and we're talking small business money. And if you're a business owner now, you want to be tuning in and go to RoyMatlockJr.com. We're going to have a questionnaire on the website. The website will give you, as a business owner, some ideas about, you know, getting some valuations done. We also have the ability to do some valuations for you. And Brad O'Brien, who's with me, that's what they do, is they help business owners create additional value for their business, and then one day it gets ready to sell. You know, I've always looked at, you know, businesses, you know, the old school it still holds true. You got sales, you got operations, you got finance, you got legal, you know, you've got tech now,
yep.
You know, that kind of thing. And you can probably go one step further with tech, you know, mostly a lot of AI and all that kind of stuff. So when we're looking at, you know, we start with the sales system that drives the business. What are some things that business owners need to have in place that causes their business to be more valuable from the sales standpoint?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is financial reporting, right? The financials have got to be good. Every buyer's going to look at the financials. And, you know, if you're just tuning in, we've been talking about business valuations, but I think that's where having that business valuation is going to give you some concrete evidence around your financials, what's missing, and what the value of that business is going to be.
And you know, business owners for years, and there's nothing wrong with this. This is why we go in business for ourselves. But, you know, you like to make money but not pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So then what happens is you know, the question is, you know, when you're going through those financials and someone sees, you know, your business, those financials need to be up to speed, mm-hmm. that someone could say, hang on a second, if I hired somebody, you know, one of the things I've always done is you know, people want their valuation. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody ask me, tell me not too long ago, they had some real estate.
Yeah.
And they were thinking about, you know, it's not getting what I think it's worth. Mm. I said, oh, yeah, it is. It's always getting what it's worth. It's not what you think it's worth. It's just what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this conversation because they had a property in out of state. Mm-hmm. It was kind of an Airbnb kind of thing. And I said, well, I got a question for you. If you had she thought it was worth $500, mm-hmm. and but it's not selling. And I said, so if you had $400,000 right now, all right, and right in the bank, mm-hmm. would you get in your car and drive over to where this place is and buy the place? And you know what her answer was?
No.
Okay. I said, so the bottom line is you are buying it.
Mm-hmm.
You're buying it all the time. You can't not buy it. Okay. Yeah. You own it right now. So every time, you know, money is sitting, if you've got it sitting in the bank, you just made a decision to invest your money in the bank at 2%. Or if you've got it in your backyard, well, you made a decision. You can't not make a decision. Mm-hmm. All right. And so when people are looking at their business valuations, you know, you have to ask yourself, so I think it's worth $45 million.
Mm.
Oh, really? All right. Well, if you had $45 million sitting in cash in the bank, would you go buy this business? And they're, I don't know about that.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so some of the things, getting those financials straight, right, are a big thing. What about operational procedures and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many variables that play into this. Operational procedures is high on the list as well. You know, owners have got to be able to have their operations in sync. As we talked about earlier, being able to walk away, operations run smoothly. You know, you're not going to be bothered if you're on vacation, you come back, hey, everything's good. The house hadn't been burnt down, right? So very, very important.
What about databases and technology?
Yeah, you said tech, right? That's the biggest thing. Having the tech in place, having the parameters to protect that information, right, that technology, and, you know, making sure your people are trainable, teachable, and understand the technology, not just you. That's another thing that can really go back to that owner and fall on their shoulders. So make sure people understand how that works.
Yeah. So I start looking at, you know, your database. How well do you know your customers?
Mm-hmm.
How easily can you reach your customers? You know, one of the things that I did years ago, I started getting involved, and I say years ago, I should have been smarter.
Mm-hmm.
But I started doing video and email marketing in 2008.
Wow.
I should have opened YouTube. That should have been my idea.
There you go.
And I was doing video I started doing video long before anybody was doing video. Mm-hmm. And actually in Nashville, I think I was the one that introduced it to the real estate people. Now they all do homes.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl I was with at the time, I said, hey, I got an idea for you. You should do these videos. We had like 600,000 views.
Wow.
Watching real estate videos, you know, where we advertised it. But the whole point is, you know, your database and your ability to communicate has a lot to do with your retention rate.
Yeah.
And if you have great retention in your business, then that valuation would go up.
Right.
You know, and my business is a recurring revenue model.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do the right job for my customers and I stay in touch, you know, I call it, you know, I look at what the lifetime value of a customer is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had the mindset, you know, that when I do business with someone, I look at the 10-year number, all right, that, you know, for 10, you know, the next 10 years, you know, I'm going to keep all of these people. I'm going to keep them longer than that. I got clients that have been with me 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I've got one right now that they started with me and they were in a trailer When I met them, they had two kids. They were broke. They started with $25 a month, putting it in an investment.
Wow.
And now they're retired, and they're still with me.
Yeah.
And so anyway, if you're out there, Dean, you know who I'm talking about. But anyway, the point being is you know, all these things
yeah.
go into getting this together. So let's talk yep. about protecting what you've got. If you, what happens if you die? Succession planning.
Yeah.
What if you became disabled? We'll get into a little bit of that. We've got about, you know, got a little bit of time to talk about that. So let's start right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Succession planning. Yeah, sometimes that word can go many different directions for a business owner. A lot of times it can be, you know, they think about that and think about retirement, but it's really not. It's, we like to think about succession planning as being what we call continuity planning. And I think the biggest question around both of those phrases is really understanding or preparing your business for what comes next, whether that's in your growth phase or your exit phase, what comes next. And that doesn't necessarily always mean retirement. It could be disability. It could be death. It could be divorce. It could be any of these things that can affect your business and what that next risk factor is. A lot of businesses have family members in their business. They might want to sell to the employee. These are things that we just really need to pull the rug back and look and see, you know, what are you thinking? What are you planning at these different stages? Or it's maybe selling to a third party. So succession planning is really continuity planning. It's thinking about, hey, what's going to happen to my business next and preparing for that situation. Every owner will eventually leave the business one way or another. Succession planning really helps ensure the business is prepared when that day comes.
Yeah, and some of the things that I'm doing right now on my business is I'm building an AI agent.
Mm.
All right, and this AI agent is my second brain.
Mm.
All right, and it sounds crazy, but the second brain is taking all of my 40 years of personal finance experience and running a small business and all that kind of stuff and putting it into one place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of my pot, I've got thousands of hours of this stuff.
Mm.
And so then later down the line, I'm there.
Yeah.
When I'm not.
Yeah.
And that's one of my goals, to be able to be, you know, the real success in a business is when you have something that delivers great value to the customer consistently, and it doesn't require you to be taking a phone call at midnight,
that's right.
You know, and stuff like that.
Yep.
And so if you're tuning in, we got one more segment. I'm here with Brad O'Brien. We're talking to business owners, and we have a lot of small business owers out there. If you'd like help, find out what your business is worth and get some great ideas, go to roymatlockjr.com and click business valuation.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're winding down. This is segment four, and today I've got Brad O'Brien with me, and he is involved with business valuations. So if you're a small business owner, keep listening. And if you are a normal listener and you don't own a business, maybe you want to get involved in a business, this should be some good ideas to go along with it. And I would encourage you to go to roymatlockjr.com. And let me give you some ideas to look for. If you're a consumer right now and you're getting started, you should click on the $500 secret. I tell people, you know, this system is to get money put into investments on a automatic basis. Mm-hmm. And one day you'll wake up, you know, like, hey, I'm a millionaire. And it all started because you started. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's the key to it. My biggest mistake is procrastination. We have that. Another place you can go are resources. If you're trying to get your budget set up or learn about insurance or whatever it is, we've got a resource tab in there that you can do that. You've got the podcast. Podcast going back to 2018, almost every week. I mean, it's just thousands of hours. No reason not to learn about your money. If you would like to meet with one of us, one of our advisors do a phone call or a review. You can do that. All of this is at roymatlockjr.com. And lastly, we have a referral partner program. If you're connected and you would like to find a way to learn more about money and be a part of our system, reach out to us. We can do that. So we got all kinds of things as we expand. Today, we're hitting the small business side, or we're just going to say the business side. And so now we've got this business, and there's some things that we need to be looking at as it relates to succession planning. So let's say that I'm in business. I've had a successful business. Me and my high school buddy, we had an idea, and now we've been doing this together, and you know, no problems. Partners are good. We're both married, and we got kids, and now we're getting to that age that, you know, we're not going to live forever. I always tell people, you know, the reason we have crime shows is one of the big things. Somebody's got to die. Yeah. All right. And so something's going to happen, you know, either if or when, but you know, I don't think we're going to live to 1,000 years old or anything like that. My mother lived longer than anybody, and that was 102. Mm. And so the long and short of it is, so now we got this deal. We've had a great life. And we got partners, and maybe it's not like that. Maybe it's a short-term business that you've got a partner. So talk about some of the things that go on with that.
Yeah, life moves fast, right? We wake up one day, we figure out, hey, we're thinking about retirement, or we're running a successful business, and we've got to think about next. Where business is running smooth, revenue's coming in, we've got a business partnership. You know, and business partnerships are very common.
I mean,
there's you might be a business owner and have multiple businesses with different partners. So this is very common out there with having a partner. I think the risk is what happens to you or that partner, right? And we talked about death, disability, divorce, all these things, these life risks that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But having a partnership has some risk. And I think that's something everyone that has a business needs to be aware of when it comes to a partnership. You know, when you're we had a restaurant chain back home. I'll tell a story. You've been telling some stories.
Yep.
And they had lots of these same restaurants, different locations. And some were run by the owners, some by family members. Some had really good management. And I just happened to have one of these that one of the partners was physically there most of the time. Well, that guy was in his 50s. He died unexpectedly. And his wife decided to come in there and run the restaurant, and she'd never really been there. And to this day, we do not go to that restaurant, because if we order a Diet Coke, we're getting a Coke. If you order a hot dog, you're getting a cheeseburger. And yep, it's been the same for many, many years now. So if you don't have some type of plan in place to buy out that partner's spouse, if you're in a partnership, you need to have a plan, because that can happen. And that partner spouse can ultimately take that business down.
Yeah. And so let's talk. I had a scenario with three guys that they own property together, and similar kind of thing. And so we talked about a buy-sell agreement.
Yep.
And we were funding part of it with insurance, mm-hmm, life insurance. Mm-hmm. And then we had in there, in that buy-sell agreement, how the business would get valued. Mm. Then from there, how the financing would be working and stuff like that. So talk about some examples of buy-sells.
Yeah, absolutely. So buy-sell is a formal agreement. It's a legal agreement that talks about the what's and how's of the business with these situations that you just talked about, Roy, and I mentioned, in the event that death happens or some other significant event happens. Typically, those agreements are funded with some type of either life insurance or some other financial vehicle. Life insurance is really common, but you really need both. You don't want to have one without the other, and they work in cohesion together. One of the great things about our resources, we've been talking about resources, is if you have a partnership and you have a buy-sell agreement in place, we will review that for you. And if your business value has changed, we'll do the valuation. We talked about that. So some of the resources we've talked about today, again, the buy-sell agreement, if you've got that in place, or if you don't have a buy-sell agreement in place, you need to give us a call. We want to help get you in the direction of getting a legal agreement established and funded in the event for one of these risks that we talked about.
Yeah, so one of the things that I did when in talking with these people, I said, look, to begin with, first thing we want to do is we get a valuation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's automatic. And what happens is generally you have two valuations that I've experienced, mm-hmm. and you average those. That's one way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that way the person who's getting bought out is getting a fair valuation.
Yep.
And the person that is buying them out gets a fair valuation. And in right. many cases, if the business is worth a lot of money, then it may be that the person that has bought the business out, the person carries financing on part of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, so then they get, but what it does is it gets them out of the business.
Yeah.
Right? And so you don't want to bring someone that if you've been had two partners and you've been working that business, and then suddenly the beneficiary of that business is one of their kids or spouses or whatever that has no real knowledge of it, but now they're the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case with that, you know, you're doing all the work probably.
Yeah.
And they're either doing nothing or they're interfering in mm-hmm. you doing something. And so that's a way of doing that. So that would be funded maybe, you know, if you estimate the business is worth $5 million. You might buy $2.5 million of insurance on each other,
mm-hmm.
and the beneficiary is, that's part of the business is buying it out with, and
right.
then the financing on the rest. So we've got that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an example. Let's talk about key employees and
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing.
Yeah, key employee or employee retention is a big thing. I think after COVID, that really spiked the whole environment of our workforce really changed. So we see a lot of businesses trying to attract or retain their current key employees with different structures or different benefits outside of your health insurance, your 401k, your disability, your life. All those things are included to all employees. These are sort of key carve-out plans. So if you've got a key employee out there that's making the cash register ring, or simply ask yourself the question, hey, if Roy walked in next week, he put a resignation letter on my desk, what would happen to the business? I
right.
think that would answer the question, right?
Right?
There's some really unique ways that we can be a resource for you to put some things together to help reward and retain these key employees.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've always done with, you know, I've said this with bills, you know, on budgets mm-hmm. and with employees is when you hire someone, you are hiring based on what you think they're going to be like.
Yeah.
And then after a period of time, you're going to know what they're like.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then what happens is I've always said this, that if you have an employee, you always ought to ask yourself this one question, knowing what I know mm-hmm. now, if they were not working for me now, would I rehire them?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And if the answer is no, then you need to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is yes, you better make sure that they're getting treated fairly.
Yeah.
All right. Because someone else is going to say, wow, these people are good. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, you provide the benefits and
right.
you pay attention and make sure that you're paying them good and you're treating them good and give them the freedom to be doing what they're doing. I got great people. I mean,
yeah.
my people that do the stuff with me, I mean, they are good people.
Yeah.
And so I want to do everything in my power and also include them in the knowledge of, you know, let's be reasonable,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
wherever the business is. But then at the same time, if I have an opportunity to be able to, you know, do some kind of bump,
yeah,
I'm going to do it or,
yeah.
you know, whatever it may be. And so we got that. So there's key employees.
Mm-hmm.
We've got succession planning.
Mm-hmm.
We got buy-sell agreements.
Mm-hmm.
We do the business valuation, which is going to go in and look at what sales,
yep.
technology.
We're going to look at everything with the valuation.
And
yeah.
something else we didn't talk about is agreements, legal agreements
mm-hmm.
that are with customers.
Mm.
Okay. That, you know, if you've got a rock solid contract with a business that you're providing services to,
yeah,
those agreements carry market value.
Absolutely. A lot of weight there.
Yeah. So anything else? We've got about a minute or so left that you want to close with.
I want to say one thing back on employee retention. I think some of the institutions, some of the bigger businesses out there, the name brand businesses, there's a lot of businesses out there that have utilized these top shelf type strategies for years. We want to bring those down to middle class America, small businesses,
right,
because you can do the same thing. You just don't know about it.
Right.
So reach out. If you've got a key employee, get in touch with Roy, get in touch with his people. Let's look at what we can put together. Let's bring some of these same strategies down, because we don't want we don't want your business impacted because you lose a key employee. Right,
right. And it's very important. You got to always be getting better,
mm-hmm,
always be thinking broader. One of the things that if you're out there right now that I would just encourage you to do as a business owner, I met with somebody before this morning, and you know, a lot of the business owners, what they do is they're very good at making money,
mm-hmm,
but they're not really good at taking care of the things like we just talked about.
Yep.
You know, having the plans in place. You know, just on a personal level, about 60% of the population doesn't have a will or trust.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so you got beneficiary problems, and if mm-hmm you own a business, it's even more complicated. I always tell people if you don't own a business and you don't have any partners and you're married to the same person and have kids, pretty simple.
Yeah.
All right. But if you anything outside of that, you might want to get professional help. Brad, thanks for jumping on here. If you're listening right now, visit RoyMatlockJr.com. We've got everything under the sun to help you with your money, especially you business owners. Check out the free evaluation.